Chapter 28. Concealed in the brush, Nath kneeled on one knee, scanning the skies above. The floating city hung ominously in the air, a monolith beyond expectations. Its tall buildings and high spires hosted dragons, colorful and with dark tails.
There must be at least 20 of them up there.
He reached behind his back and grasped Fang's hilt. The metal was cool to the touch. It put Nath's mind at ease. Having Fang on his side again gave him an edge, and that would have to be enough. In one of the stone archways in the city, a dragon with deep blue scales stretched his wings and yawned. Little bigger than a man, the blue-streaked dragon dropped out of the archway, glided between the towers, and disappeared behind the cover of the buildings, only to appear again streaking high into the clouds above.
Oh, if I just had wings, getting into that city would be a lot easier.
He eased his way through the brush and forest to another vantage point facing the eastern part of the city.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 great dragons.
Dragons were scattered the same on this side as everywhere else. Some of their eyes gleamed like diamonds, and others were closed. Nath dug his nails into his palm. He had to get moving and help Bazog. Otterbone had even said there was a greater menace within than the dragons. Not to mention that even if he managed to make it into the floating city and out, he'd still have to navigate through the bull dragons. They had his scent. They'd be looking for him. He scanned the great rock the city floated upon. There were catwalks high above that led from the city onto other rocks floating on Jackside above. But they were 100 feet above him. Maybe more.
I can't jump that high. If Bazog were here, he'd take me up.
He eyed the stones that hung in the air. There were many small ones the size of boulders that hung suspended in the air, like the rocks that help you cross a rushing river.
That's interesting.
There were hundreds of stones scattered over the expanse. Nath could see a path leading upward toward the city, but it was no simple feat. The distance from one rock to another looked to be over 20 feet.
All right, then. That's one option. But how can I climb them without being seen? Is this the way Otterbone meant for me to take? It hardly seems safe. Only one way to find out.
He scanned the tops of the city buildings, eyeing the dragons roosted and gliding through the city.
But what do I do about them?
He combed his fingers through his mane of red hair, buckled his brows, and snapped his fingers. He slipped the potion vials he'd taken from Brenwar's chest out of his clothes. Each was colorful, but not bright. He put the royal blue and lavender mixtures back and kept the emerald green. He shook its contents in front of his eyes. It began to bubble. Fizz. A tiny tornado formed inside with bright sparkles.
Can't believe I almost forgot about this. Now I just need something to use it on.
Nath crept back into the forest. The potion would work on many things, living things, but he needed to find the right subject. He stopped at a burrow in the grasses and put his ear to the ground.
Nothing in there.
He trekked around with his head on a swivel, shoved leafy branches from his face.
Has to be something I can use here.
He lifted his chin up. Something buzzed overhead. A hornet's nest. He smiled.
Perfect.
He scaled the tree and crawled out on the limb that held the nest in place. The nest was bigger than Nat's head, and the black and gold-winged hornets buzzed with more fury the closer he crawled toward them. Nath huffed a plume of smoke at them. The buzzing subdued. It didn't stop a few dozen hornets from landing on him, though. Each was big, about half the length of his finger. And he knew their stings were almost lethal to most people. Nath chuckled. He remembered a time when he'd dropped a hive onto a camp of orcs. He could still see them scrambling and flailing their arms and kicking their legs. A camp of 30-some orcs reduced to nothing in seconds. He had freed a pair of green lily dragons that day. It had been over 50 years ago, maybe longer.
I didn't have my scales then,
he said to himself, as several of the hornets tried to sting him.
I had to be more careful. One of your brothers still managed to put a knot on my chin.
He blew another ring of smoke, scooted over the branch, stretched out his arms, and plucked off the nest. The hornet started to cover his arms, chest, and face. He hopped out of the tree, landed on Cat's feet, and made his way back toward the river canyon's edge.
This better work,
he said, eyeing the mystic vial through the coat of hornets he wore. He flipped the cork off the vial, stuffed the vial into the nest, and poured.
One. Two.
The nest sprang to life.
Three.
He slung the nest high in the air. Over 100 feet up it went, reaching its zenith, where the entire nest seemed to hover for a moment.
Come on now. Work.
The hive exploded in a burst of buzzing golden light. Dozens of hornets, maybe hundreds, grew 10 times in size and streaked through the sky. Their golden wings buzzed with roaring fury. They zigzagged like sparkling gold fishing lures in the air, scattering everywhere. A dragon roar caught Nath's ear, followed by another and another. He dashed beneath a leafy overhang in the rocks. Dragons streaked through the sky, jaws wide and snapping. Their eyes were wild, and their wings beat in chase. The golden-winged hornets looked like huge flying gold nuggets to the dragons. The skies filled with chaotic roars that echoed off the rocks. The hornets buzzed in fury. They flew through the skies into the forest and beyond. Hundreds of hornets and dozens of dragons. Nath stepped out of his hiding place and dusted off his hands.
That should keep them tied up for a few hours. Just like fish, dragons love shiny things.
He sauntered over to the ledge and faced the nearest hanging rock. It was a 20-foot leap away and about 10 feet up. He stepped back a few paces.
I better get a run at this.
He dashed over the ground and flung himself upward.
Too far.
He glided over the floating rock, stretched out his arms, and splashed into the river. Emerging, he yelled,
Great dragons!
He swam to the riverbank and climbed the vines. Standing on the ledge again, he flung water off his arms and said,
Let's try that again.
He leaped up in a perfect arc and landed flat on his feet on the floating rock. It teetered. He steadied himself with his arms, and with his keen eyes he traced a path to the city on the floating stones. It took another long hop impossible to man, followed by another and another. Every rock was different than the last. Some were big enough for many, and some barely big enough for him. One slip, and he'd have to start all over again. Halfway across, he looked down at the river rushing far beneath him. The wind whipped his hair, and every rock he landed on wobbled and teetered.
There must be another way they came up here.
He crouched, craning his neck toward the sky. If a dragon saw him, he'd be an easy mark.
Keep moving. Halfway there.
He leaped onto stone after stone. Some went up, some down, some left, some right. His path spiraled, but he was getting closer. He stood on a smaller stone, barely wider than his shoulders, balancing himself. The next stone was a big one, 20 feet wide and 10 feet high, but it was more than 30 feet away. He gathered his legs under him, tried to steady himself in the wind. His legs exploded upward. Up he was going with his arms stretched out when a gust of wind hit him. He landed on his chest on the rock with his legs dangling off. His fingers clawed at the rock. The rock tilted toward him. When he started to slide off, Nath caught a glimpse of the water rushing beneath him.
I'm not doing this again for Bezod.
He raised his arm up and slammed it down like pounding a nail. By digging one set of claws into the rock after another, he heaved himself up, legs and all.
Whew!
He said, drawing his arm across his forehead. He stood up, looked down at the river, and waved.
That should be the worst of it.
A growl rumbled behind him. He whipped his head around.
Sultans of Sulfur!
All he saw was dragon teeth and scales.